You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the DPHRO and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.
The number one pick in the NHL draft, but the man they can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
That's
from every trash, TMT for short. Wonder if we best, what you peep the score. Up at the crack of dawn, top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise to shot with 98.7. This is drop time, we provide highlights from your favorite teams. Got Dave and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
And a good the Wednesday morning, September the 15th, 2021. The show, as you've fallen in love with over the last couple of years, couple of weeks, couple of months, all of it, DiPietro and Rothenberg on 98.7 ESPN, taking you right till 8 o'clock. Oh, look who showed up for work on this lovely Wednesday. The very talented Rick DiPietro. Good morning, Rick.
Good morning, David. Don't try to make up for yesterday. I listened to the show. I heard you and Carlin. I heard it.
We put on a show.
Oh, you put on more than a show. It was almost like you knew I was listening, just rubbing it in my face the entire time.
What? Why are you so sensitive?
Oh, Chris,
and
you're
everything?
Great today. We're really bonding today.
Well, I thought that Carlin put forth a very good effort yesterday. I can't give him credit. Why does that have anything? You say I'm sensitive. Why does the effort that Carlin put forth yesterday and the show that we put forth on Tuesday, September 14th, have any impact on your life or my feeling for you?
Well, because you know I'm sensitive. I may be more sensitive than you. Just fake it, at least. Pretend like you miss me.
But I did miss you.
I don't know. I question that.
Well,
I question
how?
It.
How?
Well,
and
listen.
Why?
You know what? I worked yesterday. I was in meetings all day. We're talking about that before the show. But I will say, and you failed to mention this yesterday, I did actually win yesterday by not even doing the show.
All right.
I'm not sure if you remember why I won.
No, how did you win by not showing up for the show yesterday?
Santi, play my clip, would you please?
In fact, I'd be willing to do kind of a send a breakfast to your co-host's home on Tuesday morning with Baltimore laying 4 against the Raiders.
So you would lay the 4?
I would lay the 4. We can discuss this further.
No, no, I don't need to. Breakfast bet.
I doubt you pay it off.
Stop, what do you mean, don't I pay it off? Of course I'm going to pay it off. Yeah, done.
Okay.
Perfect.
Lock it in. We'll revisit that on Monday.
Lock it in. Lock the breakfast bet in.
Now, I'll
Let's
send your
go
breakfast
Vegas.
To your home. But I don't remember that being like finalized later on during the course of the show. We said we would discuss it at a future moment, and it never came back. Ever.
RJ. Raymond, did that sound like that bet was finalized?
The words "lock it in" were used.
Lock it in.
All right, I will send you a breakfast to your home. What are you looking for?
Oh, I got to decide. Yeah, I don't know. It could be bagels and some lox.
I mean,
cheese.
It is Yom Kippur.
Because I got a mango in my mouth.
So
I quit the mango. No mango. I quit the mango.
Bagels, lox, some sturgeon.
No sturgeon, tuna.
No,
give me some tuna.
White fish salad, little multiple cream cheeses. I mean, you tell me.
Everything bagels,
multiple cream
tuna.
Cheeses?
Oh. Since I didn't get lunch yesterday, somehow. Managed
well,
to
you were at a
yesterday.
You were at a big fancy ESPN corporate meeting.
What's on a cookie?
Lunch.
Big meeting. 7:30 start, meetings all through the day.
7:30 start. So let me see if I have this right. 7:30 start in Chicago, right?
Chicago.
Yeah. So what time would that be actually in New York? A 7:30 start would be.
That's an 8:30 start here.
8:30 start here in beautiful New York. What time does our show end?
8 o'clock.
8 o'clock. Mm. Interesting. So let me see if I have this straight. You were already in Chicago.
I was in Chicago, correct?
You could have maybe done the show from 5 to 8, and then shown up for the foodless hockey meeting.
No, I had some stuff going on before 7:30, prior to the start of the meeting. But I did. I mean, I texted you during the show. I did catch some of it with you just blatantly cheating on me. With,
so you slept
with
in
heavy
yesterday.
Set man.
Be honest. You slept in yesterday.
I did not sleep in. I can't. I have a hard time sleeping when I'm not home for some reason. I don't know what it is.
Really?
I got to go in and see if the other refrigerator in the garage is closed.
Like, you're in the hotel. You're walking down to the desk saying, like, excuse me, is the kitchen in good order?
Alarm, stove, refrigerator, freezer.
Yeah, I don't know that I can sleep until you let me know that the kitchen's in good order here at the hotel.
Is everything? Are all burners shut off? Good, check. All right.
Yep. All right.
Freezer, good. Well, okay.
What's the ventilation system looking like? Can you give me a run through on that?
did
they put
filters.
You up at a nice hotel at least?
Yeah, it was nice. Everything was top notch. It was great. We had a bunch of meetings going over, you know, everything. The entire crew pretty much was there. Meetings.
So who was
NHL.
There? Who did you talk to? Who did you hobnob with? Who were you? You know, sitting back and chatting with. Give us a little background into this big ESPN hockey meeting yesterday.
Well, I mean, I saw Chelios. Chris Chelios was there.
All
I talked
right.
to him.
Who you're tight with to begin with.
Yep. Mark Messier was there. I talked to him.
Oh, goodness.
Brian Boucher.
Okay.
Talked with him. Former Rager Ryan Callahan was there. I sat next to him.
Captain Cali, sure.
Sean McDonough.
Sean McDonough, our former weekly.
Friend of the show.
Gave us some love on Monday Night Football years back.
Actually,
yes.
How about this? He actually said to him, because I was talking to him about the Monday Night Football, and, you know, how's everything going? Great. Dave's good. Awesome. How do you like 5 a.m.? I was like, it's a little bit early, but we like it. And I said, Dave and I used to talk about it all the time. Your Monday Night Football, when you pulled out the swim noodles, and we're hitting Gruden with the swim noodles, that was one of our favorites.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, that was pretty good. He's like, I got to be honest, though, the appearances with you guys every Monday were some of the best times I had doing that job. I was like, really?
Really?
Like, yeah, I had a real good time on that show. I was like, oh, that's awesome.
Really?
So that was good. Oh, yeah, he loved doing the hits.
Nice.
And then I saw Steve Levy showed up. He
Wait
took
a minute.
The red
Steve
eye back.
Levy, yeah, he did the Monday Night Football game.
Yep.
The four-hour Monday Night Football game. And then he showed up the meetings bright and early on Tuesday morning?
Bright and early, took the red eye.
Wow.
He was there. Barry Melrose was there. Saw Elko, Linda Cohen. She was there. It was
so
great,
how
man.
Many people asked for me?
The Dave Rothenberg stories did come out on the bus back to the airport to leave. There were some Dave Rothenberg stories that started floating around. Yeah,
really? Like
oh, yeah.
Who was? Oh, here's the dream music again. Now it makes a little more sense from yesterday. So who was Linda? Right, Linda bringing stuff up.
Linda asked about you.
Uh huh.
I told Levy. Levy said, you know, asked the same question, like, how's the show going? I said, the show's great, and me and Dave. And I told him about when you left your family for the 2 days during the regular season game. He was dying laughing.
But why? See, what you do is set me up to make me look ridiculous. It's not like Steve Levy, who I don't even know if he knows who I am, said, tell me about Rothenberg's embarrassing stories. He said, how's the show going? You're going, oh, great. Want to hear a great story from years ago when my co-host left his family? You made me look bad intentionally.
No, I did not. He asked me questions about Dave Rothenberg. Keeping your head above water. You made yourself look like that. You tell these stories. He asked me about you. And I try to give him a picture of what I'm working with.
Right.
And then I also sprinkled in the fact that you were at RJ's wedding and you spent an hour and a half in the kitchen watching.
Oh, stop. It was a little bit of time during the appetizer hour. It was nothing.
Let's hear from Dave Rothenberg.
Oh
why?
See, that's your guy.
No, that's supposed to be your guy. Well, actually, yeah, we did. Kay?
Kay's
wedding.
Not my guy. Please, you guys have this bizarre love affair. All right, so Linda asked for me. Levy asked for me. Did Messier ask for me?
Messier did not. McDonough asked for you, so that's three.
Okay.
None of the big bosses. Norby didn't ask for you.
No?
No. No. Gary Bettman didn't ask for you.
Gary
but
Bettman
that's pretty
was
good,
there.
Though. Yeah, Bettman came. They did a presentation.
Wow.
Got a little heated. They showed a clip that they tried to quiz us on the rules, and they showed us a clip. What do you think this is going to be? And it was goalie interference. So do you think it was goalie interference, no goal? Or was it a goal? And of course, former goalie. So that's got to be goalie interference. Nope, not goalie interference.
Of course, you took that tact. Did they use your
headshot? Goalie interference.
Where you looked homeless?
Did I look homeless?
No, did they use the headshot of you, you know, where,
no.
Where you don't look well?
I think we're past that. They actually
you think
had hair.
So?
How about this? This was not scoping in a closet. This was like the real deal. Hair and makeup.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
So they this made you look serious. Beautiful.
I hope so. I don't know. I didn't get a chance to see the pictures, but I hope so.
Yeah, but those will never come to light. Like, the ones I hope that we continue to use are the one where you look just horrendous.
Yeah, they put that up on the screen, too. Like, oh, and here's the team. And it's like everyone has a nice headshot. It's like me in a denim shirt where I look like I spackled my hair on.
Oh my goodness. Wonderful. Well, I'm glad you did well. I'm glad you're excited. So let me ask you this before we get to the Yankees, who had a nice tidy win yesterday, the Mets, who had another one of their Mets kind of wins. What is your exact role on the hockey coverage? Do we know? Has that been defined?
Oh,
it has. I'm
a pain
in
the ass.
I'm a pain in the ass. I'm a studio analyst.
Okay.
So we'll start doing games here, obviously, when the season starts. And we got a bunch on ESPN+. Plus. We got some exclusives too, that we'll have on ESPN+. Plus. Most of
so
our
you're
national...
Not gonna be, you're not going to be calling games. You're not going to be traveling around to different locations.
Bristol.
Right, but you're going to be studio analyst, where they send it back to you guys, and it's you and a cast of different people who are breaking down the action that we're seeing from the games.
Yeah, beautiful new studio, too. Beautiful.
Yeah?
Oh, they showed
so
us
how's this going to work now? You're going to be traveling up to Bristol and then staying there after your night?
No, I think I'll come back. And do the
show. So there's going to be nights of no sleep for you.
Nights of no sleep. It looks like potentially my first game could be on a Friday, though, which is nice.
Which is great, but I mean, there are going to be weeknight games.
Yes.
And on those weeknight games, you will be arriving back at home at, I mean, like late show, 2:30 in the morning?
Probably, yeah.
3 o'clock in the morning?
Yep.
Right down into the home studio, and away we go on DiPietro and Rothenberg.
Yeah. This is Ray Santiago territory. Santi don't sleep during the hockey season either.
No.
Two of the four of us, no sleep. I didn't get back from Chicago till I got in my house like 11:30 last night? Yeah.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah, it was tough, too.
Did you avoid the Mets game, at least?
No. Watched the entire Mets game, which was nice. It was beautiful, is what it is. Another one-run loss.
Yeah, these are great. Yeah, these are great. Mets are
disaster. Double play.
Oh, God.
The old 10th inning double play.
Didn't you know it? Like, you knew it.
Now, there's a lot of things I know, and the one thing I know for sure is that Luis Rojas is not going to be the manager of this team next year.
That's dreadful.
Not going to happen.
He has no pulse of a team, no pulse of this team whatsoever.
Well, I don't even know if it's him. I mean, his post-game, some of the stuff he says, it's almost like he's like blink twice if you need help. It's almost
like he's being held against his will. I'm surprised he doesn't go up to the podium with like the New York Times where he can prove what date today is.
Well, I don't know exactly who it is.
It's like he's just trying to throw you breadcrumbs as to like why these decisions are being made, and it has nothing to do with him. Like, I know you're going to kill me, but it's not me that are making these decisions. Like, there was no reason. I get it. You're trying to protect Stroman. For what reason at this point?
Why? And here's the thing that upsets me. All right, we'll get to the Yankees in a minute, and the phone lines is always open, 800-919-3776. Is that, and they kept saying it on the broadcast last night, because Philly lost and Atlanta lost, and if you won, St. Louis would have lost and Cincinnati lost. Like, it was the perfect storm of these teams losing. And if you would have won last night, and again, I don't think the Mets are going to the playoffs, even if they would have won last night, but you can't argue with the fact, Rick, if you would have won last night, you're 2.5 games out of the wild card. 2.5.
You blew it!
And you play Philadelphia this weekend. So you start to think about that, and you had so many chances to win, and in typical Mets fashion, you just can't get it done. What are you saving Stroman for? And it's not even like he's part of your future right now. There's a decent chance that he's gone at the end of the year anyway.
No, he's had a great season. And I mean, he actually credited Rojas after the game. I mean, he didn't pitch at all last year, and what he's been able to do. I mean, this season has been great. But I mean, when you look at what we have left and how important that game was, that's a pivotal game last night. He threw 11 pitches in the sixth inning, 89 for the game. And they've done a great job with him. But I'd say the same thing about Loop, too. Like, you bring in Loop, he throws 7 pitches. 7.
Well, they did the same thing the other night. I forget who it was
rushing to get to Familia? For what reason? Why are we rushing to get to Familia?
I mean, Familia stinks. Can we be fair? They should have never brought him back. It makes me angry every time. Every time Familia, Diaz, one of these guys has one of these moments, I just get unfairly incensed at Brody Van Wagenen.
Every single time.
It'll probably happen forever.
And then he unloads his bullpen. And, I mean, you get to, you hold them in the 10th. So you have a chance to win the game in the 10th. You got that stupid double play. And now all of a sudden you bring in Reed, who hasn't pitched in 4 weeks. Hadn't pitched in 4 weeks.
Yeah, no, I know.
Let's bring him in.
But the second St. Louis turned that double play, you knew the game was over.
Oh, of course.
It was signed, sealed.
You can't miss that opportunity. I mean, that's the team very rarely. They don't score in the 10th. You got to find a way to get home at least one run. And then, for some reason, you got, let's have Almora hit instead of Guillorme. Because Almora's had a really good offensive season.
Yeah,
I don't care what side of the plate he hits from. If it's left, right, whatever it is. He's 118 right now. He's not a good hitter. And oh, by the way, Guillorme against lefties, I know he's a left-handed hitter, is batting .276.
I give up. But you,
I give
but
up.
You know.
I don't know what to do at
what
this
What do you
point.
Mean, what to do?
Because for some reason, I can't quit them. They drive me crazy.
Well, you shouldn't quit
they
them.
They frustrate the hell out of me, but I can't. Like, for example, with the Giants, and they got a huge game tomorrow. I'm hoping they win just to save you.
Well, can you not agree that if the Giants lose tomorrow, there's very little, if any, chance that they're going to go anywhere this year?
No, I can't agree with that. No, because they can bounce back and beat Atlanta.
And be 1-2 and then into what? Into Kansas City? Uh-oh.
Yeah, but you got to remember, too, right, and I don't want to get too deep into this because I want to finish talking about baseball, I get what you're saying, 0-2, as far as your chances of making the playoffs, not great. I get it. But I would imagine, as bad as week one looked, both sides of the ball, as Saquon Barkley starts to get a little bit healthier, Galladay gets incorporated into the offense, you'll get Ingram back. It should get better. I know it's daunting. The beginning of the schedule is daunting, but it will lighten up. I'm not ready to quit on the team in week two.
All right. Well, then you stay loyal to the Giants because if they lose.
Well, I'm not going to stay loyal to the Giants. I could care less. I need the Giants to win to save you because I can't get apathetic about my Mets. Like you got with your Giants. I can't do it.
Well, there's a difference between being apathetic and being realistic. And if you're going to sit there and bang your head against the wall game after game after game where the Mets just find, they lose the same way all the time. I don't think the manager is very good. I think the bullpen is mediocre at best, and they're not a very good baseball team. And if that's going to upset you all the time, then that's crazy. At some point, you have to realize they're just not good. They're just not good. All right, we'll get more Mets. Get into the Yankees. Nice, easy win last night. 17 games to play. They're right there with Toronto, who lost, Boston, who won. 800-919-3776. Rick is back. He had photos. He feels good. He embarrassed me at the national stage. Everything is great. Everything is great.
Thanks for listening to the DPetro and Rothenberg podcast.
And welcome aboard.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
So I read the this tease for Jets tickets. And then later on in the 7 o'clock hour, when we would have the Jets giveaway, he had the very same tease in there, and I read the tease again.
I do remember that, yeah.
But because I'm so aware, I picked up on it, and I stopped, and I said, wait a minute, something's not right here, and we corrected it on the spot.
On the spot, of course.
So I knew you'd bring this up, but I did. No, listen, I take full responsibility for what happened.
No, because then I got Carl being like, oh, you like Ron Burgundy. The wrong copy was in my sheet.
You know how many shows he worked yesterday? Like four.
No.
But something like that. He was all over. Anyways.
It's too bad doing shows doesn't burn calories.
You know, like Karen Carpenter by the end of yesterday.
But here's my issue. You could have read that before. You could have caught that. Now it's on me, but I also think you play a small part. You could have caught that before.
All right, let's break down percentage of the entire pie, the 100%.
It's like 80-20, 90-10.
No, stop.
But still.
It is not. You send those reads out so early in the morning. That is, at the very least, it's 60. It's 60 you, 40 Dave.
I'll take that.
Take it.
I'll take it.
I will take that.
I'm getting 40% blame for
40%.
Being set up to fail?
No, because you like to set him up to fail. Could you imagine if Dave...
How did I set him up?
Could you imagine? Because you brought it up on the air. You're supposed to read these things. When he sends me the reads, I read them, make sure they're right.
How many do you have?
I have four reads today.
Oh, four. Hang on. Let me, 3, 4, 5... 6, 7, 8, 10, 12, 14, 17, 19, 23, 25, 27 reads. 27 reads. You want me to sit here and with a fine-tooth comb go through every read that we have on the show?
Most romantic day of the year, head to 100 flowers. Shut up, really.
You're
and
the
every
host,
relationship,
that's why you get paid
there's
the
a
big
short
money.
List of forgivable offenses.
So that's what we'll do.
Jan Blachowicz. No. Jan Blachowicz.
You like to air poor RJ and Ray out on the air. That's what you like to do. That's who you
I
are.
Like for the people, for the listeners, for the fans of the show to know exactly what's going on.
Could you imagine if he was the manager of the Mets for a quick second? Like, replace Luis Rojas with Dave Rothenberg. How quickly he would get fired.
Well, I don't know exactly who it is.
No, I'm gonna point the finger. I didn't want to bring in Familia in this situation. They
you,
beat me.
You're a loser.
So, Dave, Aaron Loop threw seven pitches. Why in a rush to get to Familia? Listen,
it's
I would have kept
it's
Aaron.
It's uneducated, it's ignorant, and it's dumb.
I would have kept Aaron in. It's not up to me. That's Sandy Gall.
That's right.
Would you like to see the text message?
That's
I'll read
right.
it for you.
That's right. 547, why can't we throw Loop a second inning? Sorry, can't do it. That's not on me. That's not on me. Listen, I make mistakes. I'm not perfect. And when I make mistakes, I own them. But RJ sending me bad reads, that's not on me. Here is Steve Nash on the Game 5 is a great opportunity. It was a great job, a phenomenal job. That's the wrong day. So that's that we're not going to play that.
Great. Did you see me buying time there, though?
Oh.
A great job. A wonderful opportunity. A phenomenal opportunity. I was looking. I was like, where's the sound? Where'd it go? No, it's not there.
He has a partially torn UCLA. Plus, the Knicks get above 500 and keep their hope of... This is a terribly written tease.
I'll tell you what.
That Lord wasn't Mike, even on air.
Lord Mike Grasso. Everything's on air. Lord Mike Grasso makes an unbelievable point. Like, the more of these that keep happening, and it's almost like every single day another gem happens, well, you're going to have your own bracket drop Mattis.
No, they wouldn't. They would never.
No, I don't know how you don't.
Because they wouldn't. Because I think that they wouldn't want to have real competition.
Well, somebody has to compete. I mean, Don walks to a championship every single year.
I got to tell you, and maybe I'm biased because it's me and it's our show. I would put keeping your head above water and counter up with anything.
Keeping your head above water. Keeping your head above water is a guaranteed number one seed that I see going straight. This isn't like Virginia number one seed. This is
like 54 points in half court offense. That's like fast break up and down the court.
Yeah, this is like that drop is like watching the Kansas City Chiefs offense compared to the New York Giants offense.
Why?
Like a different sport.
Why?
Like, what are the Giants playing? Is that rugby? What kind of football are we watching? Is that American football? I don't understand what's happening.
No, it's pathetic football is what it is.
What are we doing now? What kind of plays are we running here? That red zone, those four plays in the red zone. Those were beauties, four plays.
Those you get in once, and that's the red zone offense that you have. All right, we will get to the Giants. I made a proclamation to the guys off the air, and Santiago was like turned his nose up that I said this. I will tell you this in the 6 o'clock hour. Let's get to the Yankees for a couple minutes. 800-919-3776. What it should be. Gerrit Cole on the mound. Easy. No sweat. Calm. Over early. Just what the doctor ordered last night for the New York Yankees.
Yeah, they need more of those, especially with their bullpen right now. And that was a gritty performance. I know we didn't give you length, but, I mean, he's coming off that hamstring, had a rough first inning. And I mean, that's really the inning he struggles with is that first inning. Got through it. But, I mean, five home runs. Judge, another home run. I heard you guys yesterday talking about Judge. I agree with you. Like, this is the time. Like, if he's serious about how much he loves New York and New York has, you know, it's where I want to be. It's my heart's in New York. Like, this would be the time to do something if you're going to do something.
Well, how could you trade Judge? The guy is your best player. When he's healthy,
but what are you going to do? You're all in. But you've already made commitments to Cole.
Right.
You made a commitment to LeMahieu.
Boston admitted we're going to take a huge step back before we take a step forward, right? The Yankees can't say we're going to take a step back before we take a step forward. This is supposed to be the dream era for the Yankees right now.
Yeah, they made a substantial offer to Mookie Betts. And he said no, which is exactly what you're supposed to. What is it going to cost us to keep you? And they made an offer. He said, no, wait. That's not enough money. And they said, well, we can't afford that. Like, it's not going to be worth it. So they made a deal. And on top of that, I mean, they got rid of David Price, which was something they were trying to do. I mean, unless you're unloading another big contract with Judge, I mean, you're trying to win right now. Yankees fans want a World Series.
He's a piece of your trying to win a championship.
Dave, he is your captain.
If you stay healthy, he's clearly your best player.
It's not even a question.
It's not even close. Like you could ask someone that doesn't even watch the team closely and say, who's the best player on this Yankees team? It is every single day Aaron Judge. When he's healthy, he's a phenom.
Well, think about this too, though. I mean, the real concern when you're talking about, you know, what do we do with Aaron Judge is obviously his age, his inability to stay healthy, and it's, you know, will he turn into a Stanton where, you know, he's going to be exclusively a DH at some point, and you can't have two of those guys. Well, the promising thing this season is that Stanton clearly is a better player when he plays the field, and he stayed healthy playing the field. So that's a huge step in the right direction. Because that outfield with Stanton in it, he's a much better hitter when he's playing the field. He's more engaged.
He's also a great defensive player.
Stanton?
Oh, no.
No, Judges.
Yeah.
No, but I'm saying, like, Stanton now can play
yes.
the outfield.
Yes.
So you can, it frees up the DH. But the other concern was, okay, well, what are we going to do? At some point, we're going to have to extend Gleyber. At some point, we're going to have to spend a bunch of money on Gary Sanchez. Well, I mean, you had to move Gleyber from shortstop to second base. Right? Like, the trajectory of Gleyber Torres has completely changed. Completely changed.
Well, there's no way you're breaking the bank with Gleyber Torres.
No.
Or Gary Sanchez.
No, exactly right. Unless all of a sudden Gleyber going back to second, it unlocks him mentally and he turns back into the guy we saw in 2019, which is obviously the hope. That's the hope. But, I mean, Stanton, Judge is your captain. That's the bottom line. And if you want to save yourself some money, it would be something that I would try to get done this
Well, why would you
this
not?
Offseason.
I mean, really, what is the downside? He's your best player. He's carrying the team at the moment. He's still in the prime of his career. Unless you are of the mindset that there is just no way that this guy stays healthy for the long, like no chance. How can you be the Yankees? How can you be one of the big market teams who spends as much money as anybody and say, you know what, we're going to move on from our star player? You can't do that.
Well, it depends on what, I mean, here's the two schools of thought would be you want to capitalize on this season. Because there is the fear that he'll break down. Because he has a hard time staying healthy. This year he stayed healthy and he's turned back into one of the best players in baseball. I mean, that's four home runs in four games. And you're right, he's carried this team. Like
I just don't know how the Yankees trade Aaron Judge.
It would depend on what you're getting back. And does what I get back help me to take the step I need to try to win a World Series? That's the question you have to ask yourself. How much is it going to cost me? I mean, the reason why I would say get it done now is if I'm Aaron Judge and I want to be a New York Yankee and I'm having a season where, I mean, if it wasn't for Ohtani, you know, Vlad Guerrero, like he would be right there as far as MVP conversation was concerned. Like, wouldn't you, and you stayed healthy, you answered that question. Like, for me, I'm Aaron Judge, I'm telling my agent, let's capitalize on this now.
Of course, you have to. I want to get this deal done now. I'm having a phenomenal season. I've been healthy all year. I play a gold glove right field. I have a cannon for an arm, right? I've had big hit after big hit. Do you remember when we were doing the K show?
Yes.
And the guy called and he was like, boy, Aaron Judge hasn't had a big hit all year and he's this for the. All the guy does is have big hit after big hit.
Yeah, I mean, he can play center field now. I mean, the guy is he's easily your best player. I don't even think it's a question. He's the face of your team. He's one of the faces of baseball. A part of the seminar we did yesterday, too, they were showing us, you know, the big thing with the NHL is, you know, we got to create stars is what you got to try to do. Like Connor McDavid, Austin Matthews, like you name it, we're trying to create stars. And then they showed like stars in sports and what they do for ratings. And guess whose face popped up on those charts? Aaron Judge.
Mm-hmm.
Like he's one of the faces of baseball. And you have him on your team. And all these Yankees fans that complain about, well, you know, how come we don't have any great homegrown talent? Well, guess who's a great homegrown talent? Aaron Judge. So if you're going to save yourself money, this would be the offseason to do it.
I think it's got to get done.
I mean, let's face it. This team could look completely different next year.
They could.
Completely different.
They got to add pitching to this team, too. Now, we'll see what happens long-term with Herman and what Severino is. But, you know, the bullpen is not as great as we thought. You're not going to have Zach Britton. So, yeah, and this could be. We'll see what happens with Gleyber Torres and Gary Sanchez. And you're right. If they keep Rizzo or not, if they trade Luke Voit, if they do keep Rizzo, like you're right, this could be a very different looking Yankees team. And the expectation this year, Rick, was they were gonna go to the World Series. Like, there's not a prognosticator out there that looked at this Yankees team and said, they are not good enough and shouldn't go to the World Series. Well, you know what? As bad as this season has been, and it's been up and down to say the least, they still have a chance to make a run in the postseason. Whether you believe that they will or not, they're still in position where they could do that. Go find a way now if you're the Yankees.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's, I mean, that's what you would hope if you're a Yankee fan. I mean, we talked about this. I mean, roller coaster is the right word to describe this team. It's a lot of ups and downs, and you were just hoping after this recent slide, after the 13-game winning streak, is that they would get hot again. And the schedule lined up where they played a couple bad teams they could take advantage of, and they take care of business. I mean, this is what they need right now at the moment is a game like last night. Get an early lead. Cole pitches pretty well.
Yeah, you coast
to
the win.
You can coast a little bit.
Yep, a non-issue. And then tonight you have Cortez against Means, who's clearly the best starter on Baltimore. But again, I don't want to hear any, well, we won 2 out of 3. You got to sweep Baltimore.
You have to. Well, yeah, especially when you look at what the Red Sox have coming up, too. They got the Mariners. They'll have the Mariners today.
And then what do they have, the A's after?
No, they got the Orioles.
Oh, ugh.
They got the Orioles, and then they
and the Yankees play the Red Sox in Boston for three.
We'll all come together as New York baseball fans when the Red Sox play the Mets. So they got Orioles, Mets for two, Yankees for three. They finish off the season with three against the Orioles. So they got the Orioles six more times.
Ugh. And this is it for the Yankees, right? Just two more.
That's it, yeah.
Yeah.
And that was one, I mean, that's one of the things, too, that's been holding the Yankees back this whole season, is not taking advantage of the Orioles. And they usually beat up on the Orioles. Tampa's 18-1 against the Orioles.
It really is incredible. 98.7 ESPN giving away up to $2,000 every week this football season with the Pigskin Payout. Your faith in Gangrene and Big Blue is your ticket to cash in, so get your bets ready. Be listening in the 7 o'clock hour today for your chance to win. We're raising the stakes with DiPietro and Rothenberg and the Michael Kay Show, only on 98.7 ESPN, your home for football. We'll do that same tease read later in the 7 o'clock hour.
7 o'clock hour. No, we won't do the same read. RJ's going to fix the problem because that's what he does. RJ is like the Mac Jones of producers.
What does that mean?
Does not make the same mistake twice.
Oh, really?
Except if it's after his bachelor party. We had a couple days there where he was a little bit banged up.
Well, he was sleepless.
Sleepless. Still, I mean, he's probably still heavily looped up.
He does a great job, though. Really, he is one of my favorite people to walk the planet. But he makes mistakes, and
I think we have to call
him out on those mistakes.
Dave, I'll tell you what. RJ, for a little nugget, can smash Bud Lights.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
Smash them. I mean, I guess as a Sabres fan, that's what you got to do to keep yourself right.
Yeah, was that at the seminar?
We actually spoke about that. Does anyone know any Buffalo Sabres fans? As a matter of fact,
I do. Have they given up? Yeah, as a matter of fact, they have.
Well, when you guys were describing what it's like to be a Mets fan, when you say you hate your team, I know exactly what you mean. You love them, but you hate them.
I absolutely hate the Mets. Let's go to Dino in the Bronx. Good morning, Dino. You're up on 98.7 ESPN, buddy.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Oh, we're doing good.
I'm doing fantastic, Dino.
I'm doing well also.
Yeah, we miss you, Rick. I don't know where you've been at, man. You're in Chicago. At least you're back now.
They pulled me away from the show, Dino.
He took a day.
I did not take a day. I would have much rather do the show than do what I had to do. I had to fly. I had to take the tram last night at 11 o'clock. It was too much.
Tram?
Yeah, they dropped me off at the Rock. I parked at the one terminal, and then for some reason we landed at a different terminal last night. So I had to go down. I had to come back up and take the tram. I had to do Uber. It's too much.
Oh, that's a lot. But my point is that Dino makes it sound like you've been gone for months. I've missed you. You were gone for one day.
Yeah, but that's because Dino loves me. You know how
he does.
Like if your wife leaves for the day, it's like you feel like she's been gone for a month. That's how I felt.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
And you know that I think the guys are great back in the studio. Why do we cut the callers off before
Santiago. It's because he's a Cowboy fan. He's on edge. I don't know how to describe it to you. I can't even tell you. The guy is, he's got a trigger finger. It's too happy.
But the guy said, like, good morning, guys. I missed Rick. We were going to spend a moment discussing about you being gone and then get to him on his Yankees point, which I know is really good. And
you guys were having a whole separate conversation and leaving him there.
Yeah, so what? Dino was just hanging out.
He was hanging out. We were going to bring him back and get his Yankees point.
Dino, call back, please. Dino, call back.
You know what? I'm just going to blame both of you on that one.
No.
Not even going to blame Dino.
I will not even blame Dino. You do this, and this is not a one-time occurrence. You consistently hang up on the callers immediately.
My leash is short. What can I say?
Immediately.
But again, this one's on you because you were having a whole conversation.
I don't think
okay,
so.
Okay, must be done with Dino.
I don't know why you would make that assumption.
You know what happens when you assume,
yeah.
Santiago.
Yeah.
I'm assuming nothing. You had a whole separate side conversation.
And you did the same thing the other day.
With who?
I'll tell you what. Yeah, one of the reasons why I couldn't sleep last night, by the way, too, and I blame you, is that for some reason you felt it a good idea to get Carlin into talking about wearing a see-through white linen shirt.
I didn't even bring that up. Oh, brought that up.
Ugh. I almost threw up. He's lucky
really?
Greenpeace didn't try to roll him back into the ocean.
Oh, geez. Don't be so mean.
Thanks for listening to the DPetro and Rothenberg podcast.
I'll give it to you whenever you want it.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
I don't think there's many places better to watch a show than the theater at Jones Beach.
Amazing venue.
How great is that?
Amazing venue. Saw my girl Kelly Clarkson at Jones Beach.
Really? Did you weep?
She killed it, too. She killed it.
Did you cry, honestly?
There may have been a moment I teared up, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, was this pre-car ride weeping or
yes.
post?
Yeah, yeah. No, this is pre. This is. I just think that was like the perfect storm for me.
Right, like the stars aligned and it hit you and you're in traffic and you lost your composure and you heard the song and maybe something was happening at home and you had these thoughts and it overwhelmed you.
Yeah. Like,
no, don't do that to him. It could happen right now.
Too far from the sidewalk. Because of you. Yeah, it was just, it was something hit me in that moment. Maybe it was like the, you know, sitting on the cross Bronx for like 2 hours trying to pee in a bottle. And then that came on and it was just.
No, Kelly Clarkson!
Everyone needs a good cry, man. I mean, sometimes you just need a good cry. Get it out.
Well, you got it out that day on the cross Bronx.
Oh, I did.
I still stand by the guy next to you in the car must have been looking over like, honey, lock the doors. Well, the man in the car next to us is weeping.
Yeah, what's scary about that, though, if I was crazy, he wasn't going anywhere. It was bumper to bumper.
Right. He's locked in now. But you can't make eye contact with the crazies. He probably told his wife, whatever you do, don't look left. There's a crazy man next to us. Weeping in his car.
Yeah, but you know that doesn't work, of course. Like, you tell your wife that. If someone tells me, don't look, you're going to look.
Crazy.
Don't look at this. It's like, if someone snaps their ankle, like that Jerry Judy play. I said to Kat, like, I said to my father, I was like, oh, man. I was like, don't watch that. You don't want to watch that. But of course, he's like, you go rewind that. I got to watch it.
Yeah, see, that stuff doesn't bother me.
That's the worst for me. I can't, like, that stuff, like,
what, a bad injury bothers you?
Oh.
No, that doesn't bother me. But a man weeping in the car next to me, that would certainly throw me for a loop.
Who was it? Was it Napoleon Kaufman running down the sideline and his leg snapped in half?
The little running back. There was one on Monday Night Football, Napoleon McCallum, with the, I think it was Raiders.
It was the Raiders. That's who it was. Yeah,
I think that's the Raiders. I think it was the running back that went to Navy, and then didn't the Niners? They had to like drag him out of the pile. Remember?
Oh, the one I'm thinking about where I almost vomited was when he was running down the sideline and his leg just snapped right in half.
I don't remember running down the sideline. I remember the guy that had to be dragged out of the pile. The one with the kid from Louisville was bad too.
Well, how about the one where the basketball player's eye popped out?
Oh my God, that was terrible. That one freaked. I don't get freaked out by much. That was in the Big East tournament. I think it was Alan Ray of Villanova. That was
disgusting.
Freakish. Yeah, his eye popped out
his
of his
eye
head.
Popped out. Out of his head, his eye popped.
Yes. Out of his head, his eye popped. All right. Speaking of craziness and eyes popping out of the head, you want to hear what Don... Did you hear Don go crazy yesterday?
No, I didn't. No, I did not hear Don go crazy.
Oh, you're in for a treat right now. Here we go. Don LaGreca on the Mets. And what he says is accurate, too. He's tired of the Mets being treated like the little runt of the litter.
This team's been frustrating all year, and I just don't believe, because I just don't think they're very good. They're a game under 500 in the worst division in baseball. But for some reason, the media in this town and the Met fan is so embracing the second team in town, little engine that could mentality, that any little scraps we get thrown like the runt of the litter, we're supposed to get excited about. It's unbelievable. You're held to a completely different standard than you are with every other team in baseball. This was supposed to be the year where things are going to be different, but this whole idea of I've got to get excited because they took 2 out of 3 from the Yankees, as if it's going to end up meaning anything at the end of the day.
I've told you for weeks. That wasn't as crazy as you would hope with Don, but he gets a little frustrated. We have another one to play of him. I've told you for weeks the Mets
you,
are done.
You oversold that one. That wasn't a classic Don rant at all.
Well, I was told it was a phenomenal rant. It was impassioned. Let's hear the next one. Let's hear the next one. We treat the Mets like a puppy.
I feel like they're like a pooch, right? Like, good boy, you beat the Yankees, good boy, go get him, go get him, go get him. No, I want to be held to the same standard as every other sports team in New York. Win games, take advantage of the talent that you have. There's no reason for this team to struggle offensively the way they've struggled all year. You are a game under 500. You're not making the playoffs. And the only reason that we're even having a conversation is because the Phillies and the Braves can't get out of their own way.
Well, now they're two games under 500. That was a little better, a little more impassioned. You could feel the
still,
blood
like,
boiling.
He's like a pooch. I don't know. It wasn't.
Good boy, you beat the Yankees. Good boy.
Come on. It's
that was the best part. That was the best part. But it's different though. I understand what he's saying, but it's not. I mean, the expectations for the Mets were not the same as the expectations for the New York Yankees.
And you're right. But stop
they
it.
Even close.
But stop it. The Mets should not be two games under 500 in this god awful division.
You didn't know going into the season that this division would be as bad as it is.
But it is.
I have no idea.
The best player in the division out for the year in Acuna, right? The Marlins.
The best player in the division is Jacob DeGrom.
All right. Well, and he's missed a lot of the year as well. But there's no reason that the Mets should be two games under 500 right now. None. Look at the losses they've had this year.
I don't disagree with you. But when you start talking about, I want to be held to the same standard as every other team in New York, is a different standard. There wasn't one person that came on the air. I mean, it was mixed. It was Atlanta could win the division. You know, if things fall right for the Mets, you know, they could be a wild card team. Or no, they're not even a wild card team. They would have to, the thought was they'd have to win the division because the wild card is going to come out of the West. Right, like they have to find a way to win this division.
Right. And you know what? But San Diego's completely fallen apart.
That's a disappointment. What's happening in San Diego?
The Mets are a tremendous disappointment.
No, listen, I'm not going to tell you that I'm not disappointed. But, I mean, it's the Mets have been offensively, I mean, they've been
and you didn't expect
all season
that?
Long.
No you didn't expect
did.
Lindor, Conforto, Dom Smith to all stink this year offensively?
I mean, you name it. I mean, Pete Alonso going into last night. I mean, he snaps his bat over his knee. He was in the middle of an 0-for-20. Conforto's been bad.
McNeil's
been bad.
Dom Smith has been bad. Dom Smith was a great hitter last year. Now, I know it was a small sample size, but he was excellent.
Well, the Mets went into the season thinking it was going to be a DH.
And Jeff McNeil has not been good.
He's been bad. J.D. Davis, bad. I mean, you name it. They've been bad. But again, this was not a year that a lot of people expected this team to make a run to the World Series as opposed to the Yankees, where every single baseball expert we talked to said they were the best team in the American League and they'll be representing the league in the World Series.
I'm not saying that the Mets, at least the Yankees are, what are they, 81-64?
Yeah,
right?
Which was the expectation.
But the Yankees but the expectation was not that the Mets would be below 500 now.
No. But you no one could have expected that. You didn't expect Jacob DeGrom to get hurt. I mean, there's no sign of Syndergaard. I mean, and offensively, they've been horrendous. Did you think when you traded for Lindor and signed him for $341 million, he would have that first half that he had offensively?
No. And listen, the guy's hitting .220.
And he's been better of late.
Right. He's raised his average to where it is. But he's had a dreadful... I mean, if the Mets' offense had been decent this year, they would be running away with this division right now.
The Mets, listen to me. Met fan to Met fan. The Mets have way more problems than just what you're seeing on the field right now. Way bigger problems than what's happening on the field right now.
Yeah, there's institutional disaster going on right now.
No. Let's go back. Give me the... Santi, give me the Dave's favorite...
The Wayback Music, please.
Yeah.
You better make this good because you're asking for this
music. No, this is going to be good because I'm going to go back in time too. Let's go back to when we had my favorite guest, Buster Olney, on the show. And this kind of got buried because I wasn't on the show yesterday to really dive deep into it because I'm far more equipped to dive than Carlin is. Like I'm much sleeker going into the water. The fact that he said that this Mets team with new ownership and Steve Cohen is more dysfunctional than it was with the Wilpons. I mean, sound the alarm bells if that's the case.
And well, you wonder I don't why think Buster made that stinks. Up on the spot. I'm sure that he's hearing that all over the place.
Of course he's hearing that from everyone. I mean, listen, he was the first one that mentioned that something was going on with DeGrom.
I mean, you know, they are, without a doubt, the most dysfunctional organization in baseball.
That's what we're dealing with.
Oh, I know.
That is what we're dealing with. It starts up top. That was supposed to change. In order for this team to get where it was supposed to get, that would have to change.
But how, I don't understand how it didn't. And look what they've done since you moved on from the Wilpons. You have a GM who's a pervert, right? Yep. Now you have a GM who gets a DUI.
Check. Yep.
I mean, the manager seems overwhelmed every single day.
Every single time.
This was supposed to be the owner with these just ridiculous tweets coming at me all the time. This was supposed to be different. And you know what? It's not. It's the same thing.
I mean, listen, and I'm guilty of this sometimes too. I just want to win. And whatever it takes to win, I'm happy doing. But I mean, come on, man. Like, Baez's huge home run last night. You're chanting his name. Come on.
Well, that's what fans do.
We're lemmings. We're sheep.
But that's what a fan is when your guys are great. They can literally give you the middle finger and say, you're a jerk, shut up.
They gave you... The thumbs down was them.
It was the middle finger.
The middle finger.
And you hated them, and now he hits a big home run, and you love him. But that's what a fan is. A fan is a lemming. DPHR Rothenberg, presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests on the show appear via the Goodyear hotline. I know you're trying to make these long-winded points now. You're trying to bite into my Stump Rothenberg time, right?
No, I'm not trying to make long-winded points. I'm trying to make good, concise points. I can't wait. I would do three segments of Stump Rothenberg.
Three segments, that would be a lot. But why don't we start out with one segment of Stump Rothenberg?
He's confident.
I want to be a college professor.
He's arrogant.
I'm the talent.
He's unstable.
I'm crazy.
He's Dave Rothenberg.
You'd like his book. You should read his book.
I don't read.
And now it's time to see if you can stump Rothenberg.
Uh-oh. All right. I do like that open. I want to be a college professor. I still think I'd be very, very good. Let's bring in the man that always starts.
You'd be fired in a month.
No, I'd be great. I'd get tenure immediately. They would pre-tenure me. Andy and Merrick, good morning, Andy.
Co-eds a weekend.
Oh, that would be phenomenal. Good morning, Andy.
Good morning, Drive Time. We are one day away from the Battle of the Bergs. Rothenberg, Rosenberg. Giants. Washington football team.
I love the hesitation. David, Giants and the Washington football team.
David, my question is about that Washington football team. Can you tell me what quarterback has the most passing touchdowns in the history of the Washington organization?
Andy, while he thinks and there's dead air, can I ask you, how's our new studio coming?
Studio is in the works.
I'm not joking, by the way. I am not joking.
Stop it. It's not gonna happen.
You can make up to up to me for all your awful greens at your golf course. But
so my thought. Can we please not stop focusing on you? I'm thinking. I have three guys that I'm thinking about. I'm thinking. I can't be ripping because I don't think he was there long enough. I'm thinking Theismann because he was there for a long time. I'm thinking Sammy Baugh, who also doubled as their punter, and Sonny Jurgensen are the three that I believe are probably there. Rick, you'll probably be of no help to me.
You're
on this
a big Jurgensen guy.
Yeah, very cute. and because you made that knock on me and Sonny, I will go with a man who had a dual role, the Shohei Ohtani of his era, slinging Sammy Ball.
Dave, you're unbelievable.
And there you have it.
It's amazing how the just the tongue bath Andy gives you every time he calls.
Well, he understands my greatness.
Why don't you know how you'd be even greater? Is if we had a custom new studio.
You'd like that, wouldn't you?
Funded by Andy for Merrick.
What do you have a studio in your home?
No, I want a studio, me and you, RJ, Santi. Home field, TVs, recliners. That's what
really?
I want.
Yes. You should get like some big company to sponsor it. They did it on the Dan Patrick Show, didn't they?
Yeah, but I mean, you're the one with all the connections. Untuck it. I mean, you got all the stuff going on with your podcast.
Let me see. Again, you're trying to rain on my Stump Rothenberg parade.
No,
let's go to Parker.
Question.
By the way, if you'd like to involve yourself in the segment, 800-919-3776. Parker, before Santi hangs up on you, you're next up on Stump Rothenberg.
Okay. Meryl Streep has the most Oscar nominations for lead performances with 17. Who has the most nominations for supporting performances?
Is this actor or actress?
Either.
And here comes the silence.
Well, I have to think. What do you just want me just to throw out names without giving it some thought?
Yeah, I want to know. We talked about this yesterday in the meeting. The fans want access.
What you want?
I want to know what's going on in your mind right now.
What's going on? Jack Lemmon, I know one a lot. Walter Brennan, I think, won a bunch. But most, Meryl Streep, 17 is a lot.
That's a lot.
Second most? That's the question, right? Second most?
No. Most nominations for supporting performances.
Oh, supporting actress. Yeah, this becomes, I think Katherine Hepburn, but I don't think supporting.
I'd give Chris Carlin's belt a nomination.
Yeah, very cute. You just like taking shots, don't you?
I do. I enjoy it.
How about Dustin Hoffman? See,
I'm an excellent driver.
That's a terrible Dustin Hoffman impersonation.
Yeah, it wasn't good.
Just
trying to loosen the tension a little bit.
I don't think I have the answer to this one. I don't think it's right because I think it's for... I don't think it's for supporting. I'm going to guess Katherine Hepburn.
Incorrect. It's an actress from the 30s and 40s. Thelma Ritter had
That's
six nominations
question.
For supporting
Hang
performance.
Hang on. This is a terrible question.
I mean, how nobody knows that.
Stop,
even the Ritter family was confused by that question.
I'm an excellent driver.
Can I get a question that at least someone would have an
no
idea
one has,
of what
no
the
one could
answer
get,
was?
Ask questions that people want to know the answers to.
Do you care? It's a great point you bring up. Do you care at all with that?
No,
at all.
Here's the best part.
You want it
to
end, and you'd be like, "Oh, you know what? I'm going to take that and move forward in my life with that answer."
Exactly right.
Yep, I get you.
It's like a good joke. Like when my father-in-law tells me a good joke, I want to use your answers to questions on other people.
That's right. That's right. All right. You said you have one, right?
Yeah, specific to the 1986 New York Mets.
Okay.
Who led the New York Mets in 1986 in wins for a pitcher?
All right, so you think Darling, Sid Fernandez, right? You want me to walk through it with you, right?
Yeah, walk through. I like to know how your brain works.
So first, what I like to do is kind of try to walk through who the pitchers were on that team. And then you think Jesse Orosco and Doug Sisk. But it's going to be a starting pitcher. So your starting pitchers are Gooden, and it's not going to be Gooden because that would, I think, just be too easy. Darling, Bob Ojeda. Could be Ojeda. Sid Fernandez. And I think all the guys had double-figure wins, and I believe Rick Aguilera was the fifth starter. It's not Gooden.
You're good.
It's not Gooden because I know Dwight Gooden went 17-6 that year.
Too obvious. You're right. I mean, that's a good process
of elimination. I'm between Bob Ojeda and Sid Fernandez. Both lefties, mind you. I'm going to go with Bobby O. Bob Ojeda.
Bobby O, you got it, baby.
See, that's a nice question.
I am too smart.
Let's go to Mike in Westchester. I know we're past the time, but you know what? I mean, it doesn't really matter. Let's go to Mike in Westchester. Mike, you're next up on Stump Rothenberg.
Am I on?
You're on, Mike.
Awesome. You guys are great. First time, long time. Anyway, so I'll even give you three categories here. You can choose Rambo or Die Hard or Cheers.
I'm going to go Die Hard.
You can look it up.
Did I mess up? I'm going to go Die Hard.
All right, Die Hard. Name, and if Die Hard won the first one, some of Hans's henchmen. Give me four of his henchmen that try to take out Mr. McClane.
Do you really think you have a chance against us, Mr. Cowboy?
So, Hans Gruber, obviously, was the one you're thinking of. All right. So we had Carl.
Carl. The detonators. Did Carl the detonators?
Yeah, I like this caller. This guy's good. We had... Now, Ellis was the... Now, Theo... No, Theo was the limo driver. Marco.
Right.
We had Eddie. Yeah. Eddie.
Who?
I think Eddie.
Yep.
And Eddie. Wasn't there Yuli as well?
Yuli and who... Let's forget the... Who's the
well, hang on
guy,
a second. Did I answer the four?
You answered the four.
Thank you.
You're stuck.
Thank you.
Sorry, Hans. Wrong guess.
That was, and I'm not exaggerating, one of my all-time favorite movies. I love
How do you
Die
not
Hard.
Love that movie?
How good is that movie?
It's such a good movie.
Al Powell, great movie.
Yippee-ki-yay.
Yep. Bonnie Bedelia, Hans Gruber. I mean, just phenomenal. A phenomenal movie.
There's no surprise that you don't have an emotional bone in your body just because it's just it'd be too much.
What do you mean?
Because you can't. It's impossible. It is. It's.
But why the answer to impossible. That question does it lead you to say you don't have an emotional bone in your body?
Because you didn't just answer the question. You just listed off every name in the movie, and then I was listening last Saturday, and it was like Taekwondo is giving you like rapid fire, like boom, boom, boom names, and it's just it's not even a problem. Like instantly, right away, answering every single one
it.
Of them.
I now. We are up against it. RJ, I'm gonna leave this to you. Do we break or do we take Sal from Dutchess?
You got to take Sal.
Well, all right. This is on RJ then. So if you're trusting the speakers, then we will continue. Sal, you are a staple of Stump Rothenberg.
Good morning. Here we go. This is a baseball question that happened this year.
All right.
The Dodgers lost, the LA Dodgers lost 11 consecutive extra inning games this year. Who has the record for 12? What team has a record for 12?
Ooh. I was going to say Ron Jeremy there for that first one.
So I give you the year. I know you'll get it.
I don't want the year. I mean,
so most consecutive extra inning losses is the question.
Yeah. I mean, it's
got
to be.
I got the.
I think it's the Expos or the Red Sox. Oh, is the Dodgers streak? Well, I guess it doesn't matter. Still currently going on.
To make it easy, you guys, you had both of them.
No. I don't want help.
I'm just telling you.
I'm gonna go with the non-existent, the current Washington Nationals, the former Montreal Expos.
You're right, 100% right.
And there you have it.
I am too smart.
I love how Sal...
I am too smart.
First of all, I just get this out of the way. You know how much I love Sal. But Sal speaks to you and asks you questions like I quiz my kids. Like, Milo, what is 8 plus 7? And he wants... Like, Sal wants you to get it right so badly.
Right. That he wants to baby me along.
Yes,
but I thought I did well with that one. I did well today.
No, I thought you did good, but he couldn't. Like, he wants you to get it so bad that he will, like, whatever it takes. Like, do you want me to give you a hint? How about the year?
Can I give you the year? Is that possible? All right. So there you have it. Another successful edition of Stump Rothenberg.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
And welcome aboard.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Did you have more fun yesterday at the hockey gathering or doing your show today?
No, I miss you.
Yeah?
It's funny. I mean, we've been working together so long now that it's like, I guess I'm almost like a listener, right? Like, it's so much part of my routine that I miss not doing it. I just miss your face, and I miss laughing for 3 hours.
Yeah,
that's really what
I miss.
We
do have a lot of laughs, a lot of hijinks. I tell you what, you're not going to have laughs on Friday if the Giants lose, though.
No, and I'm petrified for that. I'll say this, too, before you play the Dan Orlovsky cut, though, is, and I get why you're frustrated with Gettleman, but I think it becomes even more of a problem if Daniel Jones can't elevate the talent around him. You know what I mean?
It's like, a huge problem. But again, Rick, it's Jones's fault, but Jones, it was the sixth pick. Like, you expect the sixth pick to be able to do that. Gettleman's the one that took him six. The expectation was he was going to be a middle or late first round guy. But no, he didn't want someone to swoop in and take him. He fell in love with this guy. He reminded him of Eli Manning. He had to have him. You took him six. I expect him to be really good.
Yeah, but that's fine, though. But again, it puts such an emphasis on the GM and the coaching staff. Coaching guys up, schemes, drafting the right players. Like, you may be in a spot where, I mean, Daniel Jones could just be that guy that needs things around him to be pretty close to perfect. Like, he
well,
needs
you
to
know what? I'm sorry. You're not afforded that luxury. When you're the sixth overall pick at quarterback, the expectation is you're going to raise the level. And it's not his fault. I mean, if he's not capable, he's not capable. But it's someone's fault.
Yeah, well, it's Gettleman's fault. I mean, clearly it's Gettleman's fault, right? But, I mean, it is, like, that's why I asked you the question, like, about Carolina's offensive line. Like, at a certain point, is it Carolina's offensive line is better, but Christian McCaffrey is so good, he makes the offensive line look decent.
Yeah, I think he's better, too. I think their offensive line is better, and let's be fair, McCaffrey's a better running back right now than Saquon Barkley.
Okay, so, I mean, that really is the crux of the issue, is that when you're the sixth overall pick, regardless of whose fault it is, the expectation is that you can elevate the talent or lack of talent around you and make up for that.
Well,
and we haven't seen that from Daniel Jones.
He's got 16 games to prove to us that, in fact, he can do that. And a guy that is not high on Daniel Jones, Dan Orlovsky, was on the K-Show yesterday discussing the sixth overall pick.
I've been pretty outspoken since the moment they took Daniel Jones that I just did not expect at the sixth pick that the Giants were getting a player that was going to be somebody who's an eraser. You know, when I'm taking a quarterback that early, he's got to erase some of the other flaws in my football team. And you've got to have some traits that can do that. And Daniel Jones doesn't have any of those traits. Could Daniel Jones be a good starting quarterback when he's going to get really good protection, really good scheme, and have some solid skill position players on him? Yeah, he's going to be a good, solid starting quarterback, a very Kirk Cousins type of guy. But when you take him at six, whether it's not his fault, but fair or not, the expectation is you're going to elevate and you're going to be the guy who can go get his own shots. And Daniel Jones just isn't capable of that.
Well, I don't know why the dog started barking.
Yeah, I
but
don't understand this, though. I mean, people drive me crazy, man. You got a job. Like, you're asked, like, you're doing a call-in. Like, put yourself in a spot with a landline where you can focus on what you're doing.
And not have the dog.
You're on an afternoon drive. You're on the Michael Kay Show. Have some respect, please.
Wow. So you think it's a lack of respect for
Michael? It's a lack of respect. Like, the people that fall, I mean, you get, like, the call where the line stinks, it's a cell phone, or, like, they're doing dishes or walking the, like, come on, man. It's a 7-minute spot.
Now, hang on a moment here. RJ's telling me he think that might have been Peter's dog.
I didn't sound like a bear barked to me.
No?
No.
You have the bark down to that level?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the dog barks almost. Let me hear it now. Can we isolate Orlovsky's bark?
See, that's bear. That's Peter's
that's bear.
Dog. That's Butter. That's Michael's dog. I'll get you Orlovsky's dog in a second.
So we have Butter, Bear, and what's Orlovsky's dog's name?
The Killer Bees.
You're right? Like the old dolphins. As we look for the barking audio, guests on DPHO Rothenberg appear via the Goodyear hotline.
Dave, let me ask you a question, though.
Yeah.
So listen to what he said, right? Now, Kirk Cousins. Now, I'm going to say something. It's going to offend you. And
don't
mean
say it
to offend you.
I like you too much for you to, because this is going to anger me.
No, I know what's going to anger you. Listen, I love the guy. I think he's a Hall of Famer. Because for me, how you perform in the biggest moments is what's most important. Right? That's where you create your legacy, is in the playoffs. It's winning championships. And the runs that Eli Manning made to those championships, I give him full credit for. He raised his level. But as far as regular season quarterbacks, I don't know how much better Eli Manning is than Kirk Cousins regular season-wise.
In my mind, and you're going to say it's biased, it's not even a close competition.
Just isn't capable of that.
I don't know if that was bear. That was more of a howl.
Let me hear it again, Santi.
Just isn't capable of that.
That's like a howl.
Just isn't capable of that.
Yeah, I don't know. That sounds different to me.
Well, let's find out. I mean, why don't you're best friends with Michael. Why don't you text him and see what dog that was yesterday on the show?
I'll text him right now. I don't even know if he's out. Who did the Yankees game last night?
I'm not saying he's going to give us the answer right now, but
I'll
we
text
can get
right
it
now.
Tomorrow.
Okay, so here's my point, though, is what I'm saying, right? Is Orlovsky goes on to say that if you surround him with some talented pieces offensively, which, I mean, we all agree that they've done, right? And you scheme him up, he can have success.
But isn't that any decent quarterback?
Yeah, but I think his point is that, like, with the elite quarterbacks of the world, you don't necessarily spend all the time talking about deficiencies because they make up for those deficiencies.
Correct.
Right? But here's my question to you, though, is we can all agree that, you know, Galladay, you drafted Tony, you got Sterling Shepard, who looked great in week one. Eventually, Saquon Barkley will be back and healthy. Ingram, same thing. It's like, on paper, it looks like they have decent offensive weapons. So is it the scheme? Is it the coaching that they're missing? Like, what exactly is missing?
I mean, if Jones is just not that good, and if the offensive line is subpar, then does it really matter how good the weapons can potentially be? And maybe the weapons are overrated. Look, I don't know. All I know is that it's been like this year after year after year, and the constant is Daniel Jones and a bad offensive line. The offensive line is not good.
Like, no, it's not good. But I guess what I'm trying to get to is this. Is that when I look at those so-called weapons on paper, and I look at the offensive line and what, between money and draft picks, it should be, what Daniel Jones is, right? Sixth overall pick, and we're still kind of, you know, trying to figure out what he's capable of doing. And then I look at teams like the Rams with Jared Goff, or the Niners with Jimmy Garoppolo. Like, you mean to tell, like, I don't think that Jimmy Garoppolo is a great quarterback.
No, he's not.
I don't think Jared Goff is a great quarterback.
He's not. And they made those guys look better. Look, maybe you're right. Maybe Jason Garrett is just not a good offensive mind. I don't know.
Is Joe Judge a good coach? Do we know?
I thought so, but I don't know. Give me a few more weeks on Joe Judge. I'm not at the point where I'm going to start burying
I will say this, though. As a former player, I'm telling you right now, it's the same conversations that we had, you know, as Rangers fans had about John Tortorella, right? He's great, but only for a certain amount of time. Like, if a guy like Torts, or one of the coach that coaches like Belichick.
Yeah, if you're not winning, I would think but the way that Joe Judge handles himself and coaches probably wears thin very quickly.
Very quickly, but on top of that, in week one, to have him throw the challenge flag like that, if you're sitting here preaching to me every mistake I make, right, like the whole notion that more games are lost than won, like we can't afford to make mistakes, especially, you know, things we can control. That's a controllable thing. Like, knowing the rule book is controllable. So I'm preaching that. I'm making you run laps, coaches run laps, and all this other stuff. And then I'm throwing a challenge flag and losing a timeout.
Yeah. It was an awful look. It really was. The only thing I'll say in combating that is they weren't going to win that game anyway. You know, throwing the challenge flag at that moment really had very little impact. But you're right. It's a mindless play. It's a mindless situation that he put himself into right there.
No, I know, and I just see, like, the Giants fans that I'm buddies with, like, listening to Joe Judge after games and all that, because there's just so much losing, like, that's wearing thin on people. And if it's wearing thin on fans that aren't hearing it every single day in the building.
You're right. I'm not going to argue with you.
Thanks for listening to the DPHRO and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.